I started a series last Sunday called Ask It, and I wish you would go to the website and look at it there. I tell you sometimes that there are preachers throughout the week that I watch literally every single week. And Andy Stanley wrote a book, it's about 10 years old, and he did a sermon series called Ask It, and there's no possible way that I could teach the second chapter as well as he's getting ready to teach it here on the screen in front of you, and I'm going to sit right here. Now remember this. There is one question that you can ask that will focus you on making wise choices. Let's start that, and I'll interrupt it somewhere along the way.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Your Move. I'm Andy Stanley. Did you know there is a single question that answers just about everything? It's true, and all you've got to do is ask it. Now, the name of the series, as we said, is Ask It, and the subtitle is The Question That Answers Just About Everything. So really, this entire series is about one single question. But the reason we're spending so many weeks talking about one single question is that our hope and our prayer is that this question would become a question you ask for the rest of your life, and this is important, and that you would ask it at every stage in your life. Because at every stage of life, this question has different implications. But at every stage of life, this question sheds light on every other question, especially as you think about questions related to decision making. This question will save you a lot of money. This question will save you a lot of time. And maybe more importantly, this question will save you a lot of tears. In fact, your greatest regret, I know we say this all the time, perhaps your greatest regret would have been avoided if you had asked this simple question and then acted on the answer. And the question is, and I want us to say it all together as soon as it comes up on the screen. You ready? Let's say it together. The question is, what's the... One more time. What is it? What's the... There you go. That's the question. Now, last week, we broke it down, and we kind of teased it out. We kind of went into some detail, and we began to ask this question in three different dimensions of our life, and here's kind of the full-blown version of the question. Here it is. It's in light of my past experience, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams. What is the wise thing for me to do? In light of my past experience, because as we said last week, my past isn't your past, and your past isn't my past, and there's some things that should influence my current decisions based on my past that you don't need to factor in. So what we're going to do today is look at the options, and here's why. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon, who was purported to be the wisest man who ever lived, and even in his day and age, he was so wise, as we're going to see in a few weeks, that different kings would send their representatives to talk to Solomon when they had a difficult question. He wrote the book of Proverbs. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He also wrote the book Song of Solomon, which you weren't even allowed to read as a teenager. You'd had to be, you know, older to read Song of Solomon. So if you think the Bible's boring, I promise you've never read the Song of Solomon, okay? So he gives us three really, really incredible pieces of ancient literature, and all of it's just full of insight and understanding and wisdom about life. But in the book of Proverbs in particular, Solomon says, hey, there are four different kinds of people. There are wise people, you know, people who look at the past, the present, and the future and make, you know, the best and wise decision. He said, but there are three different other categories. And so today, I want to talk about the three other categories. Now, I got to warn you, this is offensive, okay? So if the reason you haven't gone to church for a while is because you get offended, I'm going to confirm your suspicions today, okay? You're going to be offended. In fact, you're going to get in the car and you might be mad at me. In fact, about 5 minutes in, you're going to start having imaginary conversations with me. And let me just go ahead and help you. You are smarter than me. Now, the first option that Solomon talks about, not the first option, these aren't really in order of how you find them in the scripture, but in terms of the order of presentation, the first option we're going to talk about is the simple person, the simple person. Now, the simple person, the reason they're not wise, it's not because they're against it, it's because they're too young to know any better. The simple person is the naive person, or we might use the term the clueless person. They're just clueless. They're not bad, they're not evil, they're not dumb, they're not trying to ruin their life, they're just clueless. The simple person lacks something that older people have. They lack experience. The simple person simply lacks experience. Now, Taylor Swift got this exactly right, okay? She just summed the whole thing up for us when she said this. When you're 15 and somebody tells you they love you, you're gonna what? That's right, you're gonna believe them. Did not everybody know the rest of this lyric? Is it just me? Okay. It was so interesting. This song came out when my daughter was 15. It was like our theme song, okay? And if I had known Taylor Swift or I'd had access or had her email address, I would have written her a note. In fact, I thought about saying, thank you so much for this song. The best passage in the scripture that deals with the simple or the naive, Solomon wrote, it's found in Proverbs chapter 7. And let me just summarize it, then we're gonna move on to these other categories. In this passage, he describes a simple man, a young man, a boy, who is walking into a mess. And when you read it, it's like foreshadowing. It's like watching a movie and the soundtrack is ominous and you're about to see the main character do something really stupid and you've been watching television or you've watched a movie and something in you wanted to stand up and say, don't do it! You ever felt that way about your favorite character and everybody in the theater looks at you like, it's a movie. But you know, you're just so wrapped up. Well, you read this passage of scripture, and here's this kid. He thinks he's in for a good time. And Solomon says, but actually, he's like an ox to the slaughter. He's like a bird caught in a snare. That what he thinks is good is gonna be bad. And all of us older people, we read it and we go, oh, you're so naive. You're so clueless. You're so simple. Because it's not a matter of being bad, it's just a matter of the fact that you just lack experience. Now, the simple person, and again, this is a little bit offensive, okay? The simple person responds to wisdom. If you say to a simple person, hey, that's not the wise thing to do, or that's, you know, you really need to think through that, or hey, in light of your past experience, current circumstances, you know, the simple person responds like this. They say this. They say things like, nothing's gonna happen. I can handle it. Okay, well, see, I'm concerned because when I was your age, I didn't handle it very well. I'm concerned because your older brother didn't handle it very well. I'm concerned because the world is full of people who have consequences in their life because they didn't handle it very well. Oh, you're just overreacting. You're overreacting. Well, do you know why parents overreact? It's not just because we're parents. It's because we anticipate the future. And I'm not being critical. This is just a reality. When you're 15 and somebody says they love you, you're gonna believe them because you're 15. You can't help it. It's not bad. It's not a bad thing. It's just like an is thing. So you here's the other thing. You haven't faced consequences. So of course you can't factor it in. You have never been in debt to the point where you're not sure how you're gonna make a house payment, or you're not gonna be able to pay your rent, or you're not gonna be able to pay your car. You are not afraid of debt the way that we understand you should be afraid of it. You've never been addicted to anything. Now, you might be addicted right now, but don't know it. You're too young to know. You just lack experience. You've never had your heart kind of not just broken, but so broken up you're not ever sure you'll trust another guy. You'll never trust another woman. You've never seen the consequence of not being careful with your sexuality to the point where it's almost damaged you to the point where you're not sure you could ever experience real intimacy with a man or a woman. You've just never been there, and we don't want you to be there. So here's the last thing I want to say to all of you simple people, okay? I know it's so offensive, okay? It's like a Bible term, you know? I wish I could come up with something better. Okay, here's the last thing. Please, 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 don't trade what you want most for what you want in the moment. Now, let me just tell you, the little murmur that kind of went over the audience, that wasn't the simple people. That was us older people going, oh, heck yeah, I would love to be able to go back and be 21 or 19 or 18 or 22 or my first year in college or my senior year in college. I would love to go back and be so focused on my future hopes and dreams that I didn't waste my time and trade in the moment for my future. And I'll say it one more time, okay? Then I'm done. You can have it all. You can have your youth that we're jealous of, and you can have the advantage of wisdom, but you're gonna have to ask for it. You're gonna have to do the thing that nobody else in your culture is gonna encourage you to do. You're gonna have to stop at every invitation, every opportunity, every decision, say, okay, In light of my past experience, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? The second category that we find in the scriptures and that Solomon talks a lot about, and this is offensive too, is the fool. The fool. Now, the difference between the simple and the fool is the fool knows, but the fool just doesn't care. It's like, hey, don't you know that's going to hurt you? Yes. You're going to do it anyway? Yes. Why? I don't care. I don't give a, and you can just fill in the blank with whatever kind of people you hang around with, you know? I don't give a, use the word that you use. You just don't give a. It's like, this isn't new. Look, it's written right here on the side of the package. I can read. Oh. I mean, wait. In your first marriage, when you did this, it didn't turn out well. I know. Thank you for that information. I was there for my whole life. I've been there for my whole life. Thank you for that information. And so that doesn't make you want to do it differently? No. And actually, it's none of your business. Here's what Solomon, the wisest man in the world, who had more money than you can ever dream of and did things that you'll never do, and, you know, thousands of years from now, nobody's going to be talking about you. We're still reading his stuff, okay? So he's a couple steps ahead, okay? All right, here's what he said. This is offensive, but just, you know, get your attention. As a dog returns to its vomit. Let's just all picture that real quick before we move on with the rest of the message. You got that picture in your mind? You ever seen a dog do this? It's like, it's true. So fools repeat their folly. It's like, wait, last time you did that, you know what happened? Yes, I remember. Again, I was there. And you're going to do it again? Yes. Why? Weren't you at church Sunday? I'm a fool. This is what fools do. We return to our vomit. He says this. He says, a fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes. But don't you know where that leads? Yes, but it's fun. Okay, remember last time it took you 3 weeks to get over that? Yes, but it was fun. Okay, last time, you know, the same thing. He's cute, and he doesn't have a job, and he's living off his mama's and dad's money. Okay, this was just like your last boyfriend. You're going to do this again? Yes. Why? It's fun. It was pleasurable. Okay, no. It's like returning to vomit. No. It's not vomit. It's pleasure. Now, this is amazing. We can all see this in other people. In fact, you're sitting here right now going, oh, I wish he was there. But let's wait before we pass the message on to somebody else, okay? If you have an area of your life where you say to yourself, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. Solomon would say, in that area of your life, you're a fool. That's what a fool does. A fool knows the difference between right and wrong, and they just don't care. If you have habits that are slowly destroying your body, come on, you're a fool. You say, Andy, that's offensive. I'm never coming back to church again. Yes, you will. Let me tell you when you'll come back. You'll come back one day when you experience the cure for being a fool. The cure is different. See, the cure for the naive person or the simple person is time. Just give me time. It's like we all finally grow up and go, oh, now I know when you're 15 and somebody says that they love you, you're not supposed to believe them. Because you know, I got it. I grew up. But the cure for the fool, unfortunately, is tragedy. That's what Solomon says. That's what some of us have learned. But here's the last thing, then we're going to move on. You see, for those of you who would say, well, I don't care. I don't care. I don't give up. You know, I don't care. Here's the thing that you should at least know. You don't have to change. Again, this, we're just wanting you to ask the question. Is that, and we talked about this in our last series. You see, in your mind, you say, it's my life. I can do what I want to. It's my body. I can do what I want to. It's my time. I can do what I want to. It's my money. I can do what I want to. And I'm not hurting anyone else. And that's just not true. And this is where your foolishness has blinded you to your selfishness. Because of what Proverbs says as well, what Solomon says as well. It's one of our verses we talk about all the time in our student ministry. Walk with the wise and become wise for a companion or a husband or a wife or the father of, the mother of, the brother of, the sister of, the employee of, the friend of. A fool suffers harm. See, the tragedy of being a fool, the tragedy of knowing right and wrong and deciding I don't care, isn't that you just hurt yourself. It's that eventually you will hurt someone else. And you can say all day long, well, it wasn't my intention. Yeah, but they're still hurt. Well, I never meant to, but they're still hurt. But they're still hurt. Because the companion of fools suffers harm. Kids, can I go back to, you know, kids for just a second? This is why your parents freak out about your friends. This is why I freak out about my kids' friends. Because my kids may be the wisest kids in the world, but it is the companion of fools who suffer harm. It's the companion of fools who suffer harm because they don't care. And if they're not going to take care of their body, listen to me, they're not going to take care of your body. The fool is the person that says, I know, but I don't care. Just going to do it anyway. And then the last category, this is the extreme. This is the person you just don't want to work for. This is the person hopefully you're not married to, is the mocker. The mocker. Now, the mocker is also called in some translations of the Bible the scoffer. The mocker is the fool on steroids. The mocker is the, not only do they know the difference between right and wrong and they don't care, this is the woman that's going to scoff at the people who do what's right. Now, we don't have many mockers or scoffers in church. In fact, you wouldn't even invite your mocker or scoffer friend to church because as soon as they find out you go to church, it's like, that's just great. Woo, do you wear short pants? You know, do you have a pen? You know, do you carry your Bible? It's like, whoa, yeah. I mean, this is the person that's critical. This is the person that's condescending. This is the person that this is what they do. You're always off balance with a mocker. You're always off balance. Just when you think you're in good with them, they knock you off balance. They control the conversation most of the time. They control through their condescending attitude. If you work for somebody like this, you're just miserable. You never know where you stand. They always come off as if they're the smartest person in the room, and they're not. But they use the knowledge they have to control, and they're critical, and they control their world through criticism, and they control their world through cynicism, and they control their world, and they control their relationships by being condescending. Now, let me sum this up, and then I want to read you something interesting. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Here's what he says. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Not just, I don't care, but insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Now, you're thinking of somebody right now because they don't listen. They don't even argue well. You can't really even engage them in a conversation. What if? They're not good debaters. As soon as you bring up something critical or as soon as you bring up something negative, they just pounce because they control through their cynicism, their criticism. They leverage whatever intellect they have, and they always think they're the smartest people in the room. And you can't win with them. In fact, I won't even show you this first because it's so harsh. But Solomon, the wisest man in the world, says, just throw them out. There's nothing you can do. There's no hope. He says there's no hope. Now, it's not God speaking. This is Solomon speaking. Say, hey, in my experience, if you have a mocker, good luck. Because you're not going to talk them into changing. You're not going to show them information where they go, oh, I didn't know that, because they're not interested in knowledge. Whether it's insecurity or just pure arrogance or something from their past, they just have to control through their cynicism, their criticism, their mockers, and their scoffers. And they're almost impossible to have a relationship with. That's the third option. Whew.
Thank you. It would be ridiculous for me to try to improve on that.